This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks, and let's begin with politics and the question, how low can we go? No doubt Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren is wondering about that as she fends off what are arguably racist and misogynist comments from President Trump. At a rally in Montana on Thursday, the president took on Warren, once again calling her Pocahontas and demanding that she take a DNA test to prove her claims of American Indian heritage. For good measure, he also mocked the Me Too movement. Yesterday at a town hall meeting in Natick, Warren fired back. Now, there will likely be a lot more of this to come, especially if Warren decides to challenge Trump and run for president, something she says emphatically she's not contemplating. But she has emerged as one of the toughest anti-Trump voices in the country. While Trump is happy to slam the Massachusetts senator as a way to whip up his base. Boston Globe reporter Annie Linsky has been following all this and joins us from Washington. Annie, good to have you back on the show.
Hi, good to talk to you.
So what do you make of this Trump-Warren feud? I mean, clearly the president believes this is a good way to excite his supporters. So let's talk about it from his point of view first. Do you think he's right?
It's interesting. I do think he's right. And I think what happened here, what happened on Thursday at that rally in Montana that you'd mentioned, is something new, which is, Trump has long talked about Warren calling her Pocahontas, but he's never called for her DNA to be collected before. So that was, Trump ramping up his attacks on the senator and making an ask that we're a little more familiar with in Massachusetts because, you know, there have been some sort of characters on the fringe making that request publicly, but to have that as sort of a national request on the presidential stage was something that represents a ramping up on his behalf, and I think it is for exactly the reason that you stated, which is she is somebody who does rile up the Republican base, and somebody it's red meat for them.
Right,
they really like to kind of. They like to go after her. She isn't as well known, to be honest, in the rest of the country as other women that Trump likes to attack, Nancy Pelosi or Hillary Clinton, of course. But she is becoming a favorite of his.
So, Eddie, let's listen to a little bit of what the president said on Thursday. As we said, he called her Pocahontas again, chiding her about her claims of Native American ancestry and challenging her to take that DNA test, saying that he will even provide the DNA testing kit. Here's what he said.
We will take that little kit and say, but we have to do it gently because we're in the Me Too generation. So we have to be very gentle. And we will very gently take that kit and we will slowly toss it, hoping it doesn't hit her and injure her arm, even though it only weighs probably 2 ounces. And we will say, I will give you $1 million to your favorite charity, paid for by Trump, if you take the test and it shows you're an Indian, you know.
So, Annie, there's Donald Trump talking in Montana on Thursday. As you said, sort of ramping it up and laying down that challenge. He's also taking on the Me Too movement there with a lot of derision. I mean, is there a chance that this could backfire on him? What do you think?
Well, so far, nothing has backfired on this president. So is there a chance? I suppose there is. But I think one of the, what really struck me when I heard that on Thursday and even just hearing it again is there's no obvious connection between this notion that she should provide DNA and the Me Too era, except for in Donald Trump's head. And, I found it fascinating that he would conflate those two things. It's something that I talked to the White House quite extensively about when I was writing my story about it on Friday. And it is a traditionally sort of a non sequitur. I mean, why would her, that's where you began to combine some sort of sense of racism, as Warren has called this moniker, Pocahontas, that he uses as a racist slur. But this is where you kind of move from racism to misogyny,
right,
where he's talking about, sort of having this fantasy of being on a stage with her and, like, throwing something at her. He seems to know quite a lot about DNA kits. He's familiar in his mind with how much they would cost, what they weigh, and has this idea in his mind that he would just be throwing it at her. And then he uses these words, I would do it gently, we would do it gently, which is also not the kind of language that we're accustomed to hearing, you know, from, you know, a city council member, much less a United States president.
Yeah, it's really something. So yesterday in Natick, as we mentioned, Senator Warren responded. She accused Trump of being a bully to women across the country and promised that she wasn't going to sit down and shut up. She also tried to tie the president's attack to his controversial and chaotic immigration policy on the border. Let's listen to a little bit of what she said.
Donald Trump wants us to talk about anything other than what's going on in the Trump administration. I'm 2 weeks from having been down at the border, and Donald Trump's administration took children out of the arms of their mothers and now is too incompetent to reunite them. He doesn't want us talking about that.
So, of course, Warren there is referring to the fact that there are still a couple of thousand of children at least separated from their families. The Trump administration struggling to comply with a federal judge's order to reunite these families. A lot of outrage about this across the country. But there it is. I mean, is this going to have an effect on Trump politically among his supporters, or is that Warren just talking to her base? What do you hear?
I think that was a very clever response on Warren's part. It's something that she and her team came up with very quickly. She put it out on Twitter shortly after he made those remarks in Montana the first time, and then, of course, has been repeating it. So I think that does speak a little bit to Warren's political team, that they're perhaps ready for this question, ready for this attack from the president, and had an answer for it. I did talk to, for my story, some of the top Democratic strategists in the country who did suggest, you know, alternative responses for her. One person I spoke with, Joel Benison, who, of course, was a pollster to Barack Obama and also to Hillary Clinton, mm-hmm. had said, you know, perhaps what she should say is, yes, I'll take that test. I'm happy to do it right after you release your tax returns. In fact, you know, I'll take this from you, and we can meet on the next debate stage, and you give me a pile of those tax returns that you've promised, and I will do this. So I don't know. I mean, I imagine that this request for DNA from her has been so, it's been repeated on those sort of fringes of the right for so long. It's not all that surprising that it'll bubble up. And I think that Warren will have to continue to find ways to respond to it. So yeah. Now, you know, she's sort of using policy and pivoting to a Trump administration policy that is deeply unpopular, not only with the Democratic base, but sort of if you look at polling, sort of also with large swaths of independent voters as well. And so it's sort of very a kind of a clever pivot for her to make. But my sense would be, although I hate to make predictions, my sense would be this is an attack that he's going to continue to make.
Right. So Warren, of course, is facing a challenge for her U.S. Senate from three Republicans for her U.S. Senate seat from three Republicans here in Massachusetts. She's not really acknowledging them. She is acknowledging Trump in a big way. But of course, Jeff Deal, John Kingston, Beth Lindstrom, all running against Elizabeth Warren. So it sort of sounds like she's running against Trump and looking toward 2020. She said again yesterday, and she gets asked this every time she comes in contact with people like us, that she's not running for president. Do you buy that? Right. What do you think?
Well, she's using that sort of Harvard law professor, clever use of the verb to be, which is she is not running currently, although,
right.
I mean, arguably, she certainly is doing things to prepare herself for a run. I mean, look, we all know, we've all been watching Warren for years. We all know that she's very ambitious. You know, in Massachusetts, we are used to having national leaders come from our state, which is something that's great about it. You know, I don't think there's any question that this is something that she absolutely is looking at. You know, I would, I don't think that she's made a decision in her head. I don't think she's lying when she says, you know, she is not running currently. I mean, that's because there's just so much that could change between now and, I don't know, I suppose you've got about 8 months until you'd start, these announcements would start. And a lot can change, and we're looking at what is going to be an extraordinarily crowded field for Democrats. So, I mean, I do think that she's going to have to really make a call as to whether or not she wants to put herself through what would be a grueling primary contest and then, you know, an absolute bloodfest.
Yes, exactly.
The presidential.
Yep. And she might well decide that sticking in the Senate, she could be even more effective or just as effective, if not more effective there. Annie Linsky, reporter for The Boston Globe. Thanks so much for talking to us, and thank you for your reporting for The Boston Globe. We appreciate it. Stay with us. Coming up, as state lawmakers consider a bill to ban cell phone use while driving, we'll get a lesson in the perils of distracted driving. I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.